Welcome to Ohtani Comes to America, a show about the once-in-a-lifetime talent, Shohei Ohtani. I'm Jack.
And I'm Kev.
So the last time we checked in was about a month ago, beginning of June, and now we're at the All-Star break doing a little check-in, basically halfway through the year, a little over, but this is kind of what everyone looks at as the end of the first half. Ohtani checking in with 32 homers, on pace trying to break Judge after a crazy month of June, which we'll get into as well. We've been covering it on our newsletter, ohtanicomestoamerica.substack.com. We'll put the link in the description too. But, you know, this is for the more general conversation past month or so as we check in again during his contract year. But I want to start off by saying, I remember last episode you brought up, like, yo, Judge just had a crazy month, won player of the month. Ohtani, what are you going to do? And this was like early June still at that point. You know, Ipe listens to the episode. He's like, yo, Shohei, peep what Kev was saying. And then Ohtani's like, all right, say less. And then he just goes out and dominates. That's the, you know, running theory in my head, but
it's not a theory, conspiracy. I think it's like honest truth. I'm going to take it a bit further. Maybe this is a conspiracy, but I like to think that they heard that Yankees came to play to Southern California. Ipe, I even Googled some things. He threw like fresh concrete in the outfield somewhere in Dodger Stadium. I don't know, but Judge hasn't played a day since. Something's going on. But yeah, Judge hasn't played very much since I mentioned that. It's almost like a curse I put on Judge. Ohtani has probably got the hype we saw on that MVP season.
2021.
Yeah, we haven't seen this level of hype on Ohtani, I think, since then. Obviously, he's still been Ohtani in the talk of baseball since he came up, pretty much. But the hype is real. The hype is back. Judge is not here. Ohtani's here to stay on a contract year. And since we're in the topic and we mentioned Judge, I'm starting to see a pattern here. Judge likes to break records and do amazing things to only get topped off right after. That sounds weird. No pause. But I'm going to explain. Judge comes up, rookie year, gets rookie of the year, hits, what was it, 50 home runs or something like that?
52 is somewhere around there.
Broke like the rookie season record, something. Boom, next year, Pete Alonso comes in, breaks it. I think he hit like 53 or some shit. Okay, here we go. Judge puts up another crazy season on a contract year, AL home run record, doing amazing things. Bam, this season, Shohei is not only about to take that MVP away back from him, but now he might take the home run record from him and on another contract year. And possibly, not possibly, we know he's going to get way more money than Judge. So yeah, any record Judge sets is just meant to be broken the following year. So who else would we want other than Ohtani to do that? Shohei, you have my blessings. Let's make it happen. Ipe, you didn't have to throw the concrete in the outfield. Like, Shohei was going to get that MVP no matter what, but it was a crazy June and hopefully a good rest of the year.
Yeah, and the contract stuff, you can't compare them because you're going to pay Ohtani as a pitcher and hitter. Everyone's saying at least 600 mil over 10 years, kind of ballpark at this point, with 60 a year, 30 for pitcher, 30 for a hitter. But the record alone, I mean, that would really devalue, in a way, Judge's. But at the same time, they'd be like linked together in history forever to have these record-breaking years back-to-back. And, you know, we could talk about the whole should the Angels trade Ohtani situation, which I don't think is going to happen. But considering they're not looking great at the playoffs right now, that might be the one exciting thing about the end of the year. It's just seeing Ohtani finish as strong as possible and maybe make that home run chase. But before we get into all that, let's look at some of what's happened so far. So on the pitching end, he went up against some good pitchers. After we last talked, faced Luis Castillo, which wasn't a terrible start, but Ohtani didn't feel great about his pitches that day, even though he hit a home run off Castillo and came a triple shy of the cycle in the game, which he's been doing all season, coming so close to that. It's bound to happen eventually. And even against Nate Eovaldi and the Rangers, who Eovaldi's been a big surprise this year, and the Rangers have been arguably the best offensive team, scoring like 6 runs a game. But Ohtani only gave up 2 runs versus them, held his own for sure. And in that series, I mean, we're kind of juggling back and forth between the hitting and pitching, but hit several Apo Taco bombs all to like the same left center area, all like 450 feet. That series, just in terms of those homers, I feel like was one of the more impressive or interesting or unique sets that we saw from him. And then otherwise, for pitching for the month, he had a 12 strikeout game versus the Dodgers, only giving up a solo homer to Freddie Freeman, brought down his ERA close to a 3 after those first 15 starts, also had a 10K game versus the White Sox, but then had a cracked fingernail issue, which came up again in this last start before the All-Star break versus the Padres, where he was mostly fine, but then fingernail started to bother him, especially at the end. It got bad in the 6th inning, Bogarts and Cronenworth hitting back-to-back homers. And he said after the game, like, yeah, it's still been an issue from last time, hadn't fully healed, and it just got worse as the game went on. Hopefully that cracked fingernail has had time to heal over this All-Star break a little bit and gets back to normal. Really don't want to see it just be a nagging, annoying injury during such a special season for him. But I mean, hasn't affected his hitting at all. Like I said, that Rangers series, he went off. He hit his 150th career homer soon after versus the Royals, went back-to-back with Trout that series, which they were doing a bunch of before Trout just got injured right before the break too. Angels won a crazy 25-1 game at Coors Field, which is where you would do that kind of thing with the altitude. But it was really that last week of June where he just went off, like that whole week, from several homers in the series versus the White Sox, including hitting one to a part in the stands where people were holding an Ohtani Land sign, and then hitting an almost 500-foot moonshot, went 493 in the Friday night Apple TV Plus game that weekend, which was his 30th homer of the season on the 30th day of June. Ends up with 32 homers before the break, like we said, trying to chase Judge. But I mean, his stats overall for June, 15 homers on the month, 394 batting average, 1.44 OPS. That's on 126 plate appearances. He also faced 126 batters and had a 3.26 ERA. So between that, getting a Bad Bunny shout out at the end of June as well on Mojave Ghost off Tiny's album, making the All-Star game, being the highest voter, and turned 29 on July 5th. He's not even 30 yet. So quite a run for Ohtani. But what do you think of watching all this happen over the past month?
Nah, yeah, it was an insane month. Since last time we recorded, it's felt the MLB is Shohei and Eli De La Cruz. Mm-hmm. It's been a highlight reel for both of them, and I'm here for it. But Shohei was just, oh my God. Like, I'm sure there was a point where he was hitting like back-to-back-to-back games with home runs, but it felt like out of those 30 days, like he hit a home run every game. And it was just like scrolling through Instagram, Twitter, whatever, seeing a video like, oh, is that a replay from yesterday? Nah, that was posted 20 minutes ago. Oh shit, he hit another one. It's insane. Like, got so close to hitting that 500 foot one. I've been like dying to see a 500 foot home run. I feel like Giancarlo and Judge get close every now and then, but this is probably the closest we've seen in like a season or two to getting to 500. Even in the home run derby, we didn't see anything like that. Mm. Longest is probably like, I don't know, 480, 470 something. But yeah, he's putting up straight up MLB The Show video game numbers right now. And the nail is a little scary and stuff because it could be like a chronic thing, something that just kind of stays lingering there. I don't know, a lot of pitchers get it, but I do remember like us Yankee fans, I think it was Cheming Wong, who always threw a sinker, so he kind of like needed his nail or like the finger, and it was always like a thing. Sometimes he'd leave like stars early and like it'll develop a blister and blah blah blah. But hopefully on this little break he was able to fix it, I don't know, do a little something, throw some, I don't know, Vicks vapor rub on that thing, and like hopefully it healed a little better. I don't think there's any signs of slowing down. Maybe we mentioned it before, maybe even multiple times this season, but Shohei's looking as comfortable as he's ever looked. I feel like he finally feels here, feels at home. I don't mean that he feels at home in the Angels uniform. What I mean is Shohei feels at home in America. You know, Shohei comes to America. His Ohtani comes to America, but you got the point. Yeah, and I'm weirdly enough, like, still impressed. Even though we know it's coming, it is the greatest baseball player we've seen. It's still impressive to see.
That was arguably one of the best months of his career, if not the best. And we don't always think of it that way, like in the moment. Or it's hard to say like, oh yeah, that was definitely the best he's ever played. But if it wasn't that, it was definitely up there because I think it was a very memorable month for him. And you said it felt like he was hitting a homer every day. With 15 homers on the month, he literally hit it every other game if you, you know, just spread those out. And of course, sometimes he was hitting two in one game and stuff like that. But to average that kind of pace, and it doesn't even seem unsustainable. He makes it look very easy. And like on David Cone's podcast, they were just talking about, oh, what's more likely, Ohtani getting traded or him breaking the home run record? And we can go into the trade stuff as well. But I don't think it's that crazy to think that Ohtani could do this for the rest of the season and get 64 home runs or whatever it is, especially because he can get so hot at a time. He could belt out five in a three-game series. I mean, just gotta tip your hat because he's just playing out of his mind. And he did mention in one of the interviews how playing in the World Baseball Classic tournament in March helped him kind of get in the energy flow for that. And he did mention at one point, like, he was feeling a little more fatigued than usual because he's pitching a little more often this year. But I don't think that seems to be bothering him as much. The finger is a separate thing, not really related to that. It's more on what he's throwing and how he's throwing it. But even in another one of the All-Star interviews, he just said again, like, yeah, my secret is just sleep. I sleep a lot. I wake up, eat something, go back to sleep, hit the stadium, etc. So Shohei just be sleeping.
I don't know whether to believe him or not. We know it's super important to him. We've brought it up before, even in the 10 things important to you, GQ or your video. 10 favorite things or whatever. He had like three things related to sleep. It's like a mask, a special pillow and stuff like that. So we know it's important, but he's just like about it. He's one of those like literally born for this. Like, he's going to take it serious and like do whatever he has to do to prolong his career and like feel his best. And so far, so good. And the scary part is that I don't think he's even close to peaking yet.
He just keeps getting better.
Yeah, most great top tier careers to most players come in like early to mid 30s. Usually after those peak years, they take a sharp downfall down. But yeah, I don't see him any close to there. I'd like to say this joke that like I'm personally, me, Kev, gonna peak at 32. Yo, Shohei's 29, bro. Like, we getting this at 29. Like, what are we gonna get at 32-year-old Shohei? I don't see this being his best season. And look at how we're talking about this season, you know? It's insane to think about it that way.
Well, it's also hard to imagine what that season would be. Would it be like having a 2-dot-ish ERA and hitting 70 bombs or something? Like, it's not impossible, but that's a high bar to set. And I mean, I agree with you. I don't think this will be his peak either, but it is a turning point for him for sure, with this being his contract year and free agency coming up. I mean, even at the All-Star game out in Seattle, home of Ichiro, there's pictures of Ohtani signing autographs that are similar to Ichiro in 2001 there. And he comes up to bat and the crowd chants, come to Seattle, come to Seattle. I mean, it's just going to continue to be a frenzy. And right now it's out of his control. I don't think they'll trade him at the deadline, but the Angels have done their kind of usual thing. They get off to a start that in some ways you could look at as promising, and they kind of stay in the mix. And then they just kind of find ways through injuries or bad play or whatever to lose games. They have had a ton of injuries. There's no doubt about it. Trout, like I said, right before the break, Rendon as well, Zach Neto's been out, Brandon Drury out, Gio Urshela's out, Joe Adell just got an injury issue, and they made a couple of minor trades for Escobar and Moustakas, but the fact that they fell one game under 500 right before the break is just such Angels baseball. And literally in the last game before the All-Star break, you see Ohtani in the dugout after they lose to the Dodgers, after they fall under 500. And usually he's packing his stuff up fast and all that, and he's just sitting there looking sad. And he literally said the other day, like, yeah, losing sucks, and we know how badly he wants to win, period. I just don't see it happening with the Angels. And we talked last episode saying, like, not going to make the playoffs, even with how they've been doing so far, and definitely don't think that opinion has changed. I kind of just see the rest of the season going as usual Angels 500 baseball. They might have a couple good streaks, especially thanks to Ohtani, and when people get healthy again and all that, they might be a bit better. But I don't think they'll trade him either, even though it's like a hot topic discussion right now. Like, what could you get for him? Is it worth it? Blah, blah, blah. Artie has said that he doesn't want to trade Ohtani. They've done nothing ever to indicate that they would do that in this kind of situation. If anything, last year would have made way more sense. But we're at this weird point, and this is their last opportunity to trade him. We don't have to do a whole, you know, free agency episode right now, but I don't think the Angels are going to re-sign him. I'm sure they would want to, but I don't think they'll be the team he goes with. So I feel like it'll be just kind of a dud, and we'll see if he can chase these records and keep making his, I mean, MVP case is already pretty much locked up, but keep boosting his salary for his contract.
What's the percentage that you give the Angels trading Ohtani?
Right now, I'd say 5%.
That's fair. I thought you were even going to go lower. If I had to give it a number, I'd say 10 to 15%. What's the percentage you give of Trout getting traded? Is that even a thing? Because obviously he has already a contract that a team is going to have to take or whatever. But
I heard Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe talking about that on Baseball Today of, if you trade Ohtani, you might as well trade Trout, because if you're going to do it and actually rebuild. I don't see that happening. As we've talked about, as you've pleaded before, I hope they both get traded and out of what you call a prison with the Angels. But I don't know. I mean, Trout to the Phillies, Ohtani to TBD, like, make it happen. But I just don't see the Angels doing it. They're like a very sit on your hands kind of team. And they've made some moves this year that are kind of a change of pace and direction, like bringing young guys up earlier and stuff like that. But even those moves kind of feel like just trying to save face to show Ohtani, like, oh yeah, we're trying to do something, or that they are actually trying to do it and they've had these injury bugs. But I still feel like at the end of the day, even when the Angels are the healthiest with the current team, they don't compete with the top teams in the league. Like, even if by a miracle they make a wild card spot, which is not impossible, but I don't believe in it at this point, how far are they going to go in the playoffs? Ohtani can carry you to a degree, but you need more support.
Yeah, it's almost dumb for the Angels not to do either of the trades, and possibly even both. We're talking about rebuilding your whole farm system. You could take like a whole farm system from any team if you want to trade either of these guys, especially Ohtani. You could change literally like your franchise with that decision, especially when you know that you're probably not going to sign him the next year. So it's one of those where, like, that's why I gave it like a 15% chance of happening, because it's like someone's going to have to wake up in order for something to change. You to take a different path, a different road to possibly winning, you have to make a change somewhere. I brought up the Trout thing because obviously if they get rid of Trout, it does make space. It does free up some money to possibly give Shohei a contract. But then that doesn't do anything about the other second and third starters your team will need, and the other back, because Rendon and Joe Adell aren't it anymore. Those were your hopes a while ago? Nah, and I mean, Upton left. I don't even know how many seasons ago. But
yeah, one thing I heard people mention is, oh, what if the Angels say to Ohtani, you know, hey, we're going to trade you, but we really want to re-sign you in the offseason. We just want to build up the best chance to win and all that. And first of all, I think there's possible tampering, collusion stuff related to that, or they'd have to be careful with how they did it. But separately from that, a good counterpoint that I've heard with that too is, if he goes somewhere else, you know, we know how the Angels are run as a franchise. Not saying they're the worst, but they're not at the level of, say, someone like the Dodgers, who have like all the best equipment, all the best facilities, best people, whatever. And that if Ohtani gets a taste of that, he's gonna be like, nah, I don't want to go back to the Angels. Or another thing just to me is, once you break that and you're out of there, not that you'd never go back, but it's easier to make the decision not to go back. Though that being said, I think Ohtani's priority is winning. And sure, he'd miss some of his teammates and stuff there, and coaching staff and the lifestyle, but I think his priority is more winning a World Series than just staying with the Angels, because he likes some of the people there. So if he does get traded, we definitely do an episode soon after. If not, we'll check in at some other point. But second half is beginning on Friday. He'll be pitching versus the Astros. Hopefully, like we said, the cracked fingernail is healed. He didn't pitch in the All-Star game this week because he wanted to give it extra time to rest and all that, which makes sense. Although, you know, just from a selfish perspective, I wish we could have seen that because it's always fun. But at least he got a couple at bats in the game, got that mid-game interview with Ken Rosenthal, and he was out and about in Seattle during this in front of the red carpet or more pink carpet at Pike's Place Market and all that kind of stuff. And he even mentioned like he spent some off-season time in Seattle too, which I think is connected to Driveline or someplace he works out or something like that, but you never know. So yeah, we'll be putting out the weekly newsletter as we've been doing, OtaniComesToAmerica.substack.com. Link is in the episode description. That wraps it up for this episode of Otani Comes to America. I'm Jack. You could find me at Jack Bloom Summer, Summer with an O, on everything.
And I'm Kev. You could find me at same old Kev pretty much everywhere.
And good luck in the second half to the GOAT, Shohei Otani, a.k.a. Shohei the Money.
A.k.a. the Anaheim Star Boy.
A.k.a. the Bart Boy, no Simpson.
A.k.a. the Boss of All Clout.
A.k.a. the Double Trouble Ring Slinger Dinger Hitter.
A.k.a. the Six Tool Player.
A.k.a. Mr. Hot Wheels.
A.k.a. Otani B. Grr.
A.k.a. MLB The Show, Better Than a Video Game Player.
A.k.a.
Let me get a number 17, please.
What's that?
An Apo Taco.
Yum.
A.k.a. The Greatest Showman.
A.k.a. Swohei Brotani.
A.k.a. Showtime.
A.k.a. The Little Leaguer of the Big Leagues.
A.k.a. Two-Way Shohei.
A.k.a. The King of Pop.
A.k.a. Miyama Otani.
A.k.a. The California Cowboy.
A.k.a.
Pew.
All gas, no brakes.
A.k.a.
Get the Kabuto, he hit another one.